Don is going to lead us in the teaching today. Lord, we just want to thank you for your presence and your watch care. Lord, as we are here today because we want to be fed by you, we want to hear from you. And I know that there's some that can't be here because of the illnesses that are going on right now, and there are quite a few people out and families that are out. And I pray for them, Lord, that they're getting a rest and taking care of themselves. And I thank you that they're made good choices to not come out and put themselves in the presence of other people and pass that on. And I just pray that, Lord, you would just have your hand on all of them. And I pray that they're maybe able to tune in this morning. And Lord, we just come to you because we want to get into your word. We want to have an understanding of it. We want to leave changed. We want to be different than we came. So Lord, lead us. Lord, I pray that you just touch Pastor John with your leading of your Holy Spirit, Lord, whether it's what he has on the pages of his notes or whether it's something that you want to say contrary to that or different than that or beyond that, then Lord, we want to let that leading happen, Lord. So just fill him and just have him speak your words, Father God. We love you. We thank you, and it's in your great and glorious name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's get our Bibles out. Aren't you the sound man? You broke it.
It's not working now. So.
Okay, good morning. We'll deal with this. So. We are going to finish up 1 Corinthians this morning. Are you excited? I am. So, as you go ahead and turn there, we will be concluding this first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians that we know of course. But as we look at chapter 16 this morning, we will see that Paul closes out this letter by admonishing the church to love God and to love one another. So as you're turning there, let me get started here. Quite a few years ago, a pastor started a bit of controversy by a book he wrote. And the book was kind of a self-proclaimed guide on heaven, hell, and the fate of every person in the world. And it was called Love Wins. Well, the reason why it caused so much controversy is because the book teaches against what the Bible teaches. The book teaches kind of how we are in society today, where everybody gets a participation prize, where nobody will go to hell in the end because God's love will win out. That's the basic premise of the book. But that's against what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Seems pretty exclusive. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Very exclusive. These are Bible verses. Whoever believes in the son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. This is what the Bible teaches. So this pastor wrote a book contradicting all that, saying, oh, yeah, in the end, love wins out. But so in that sense, no, love does not win out. God's a righteous, holy, just God. And for him to just overlook someone's sin would mean that he's not righteous, not holy, and not just. So no, love, in that sense, love does not win out. But at the same time, God has promised life to those who love him. He says, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That works for the good is our salvation. That's what that verse is talking about. God's working out our salvation. Paul goes on to say, if I could speak of the languages of earth and angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but did not love others, it would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. The Bible's clear. The commandment is clear. Love God and love those people he created. It goes hand in hand with faith in the Bible. And so, if we're loving, yes, ultimately, love does win. But we need to be loving God and loving others. This is something Paul's going to touch on this morning. The disciple, John. Anybody remember him? He was an apostle. He became the apostle John. There's some church tradition about him. You know, when he was Jesus' disciples, one of Jesus' disciples, he wanted to call fire down on a city that rejected Jesus. He's like, they should be burnt. At the end of his life, he's the only one that wasn't martyred that we know of. At the end of his life, he was barely able to speak. His disciples carried him into the church. And his admonition was, little children, love one another. And so they asked him. They were like, why do you always say that? Every week we carry you in and you say, little children, love one another. And his response was quite telling. He says, because it's the Lord's commandment, and if it alone is kept, it is sufficient. And in this sense, love wins out. Amen? Verse 1, chapter 16. This is weird holding this. Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian church to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introductions to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. So Paul starts out, now about the collection. The church at Corinth had asked several questions. This is Paul answering one of those questions. They had planned on giving a gift, a monetary gift to the church in Jerusalem. And so they had been talking about this in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. We get a little understanding into that they were helping the poor of the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was quite oppressed at that time, and they were very poor. So this was what they had decided to give an offering to this other church. And Paul starts out with the simple instructions, and he says it should be collected at the beginning of the week so that no special offering is taken when I come. Basically, the idea is plan ahead. You don't want to be caught by surprise by this. Paul says plan ahead, you know, be intentional, go ahead, and then give according to what God has blessed you. See, sometimes we want to give more so that God will bless more. Or we want to feel like we need to give more because we've been a bad person this week or whatever. But no, God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul talks about this. He talks about how they're supposed to give this offering and how they had promised to give this offering. And it was bringing aid. And he says, now do what you pledged to do. Be a man of your word. Be people of your word. You said you're going to do this. Step up and do it. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, we see that the church in Corinth, by them pledging to give some monetary gift to the church, caused other churches to want to do this. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 8, he says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many trials and troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers in Jerusalem. They did even more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give of themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Paul says, even though they were very poor, this church in Macedonia, they were encouraged by your gift, and they wanted to do that. They wanted to give. They wanted to be generous. And Paul says they've done more than asked of them. They've done more than they should have. But there's a little key there at the end. He says, but their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. Yeah. See, we could give money to the church. We could give money to religious organizations. But if we haven't given ourselves to the Lord, it means nothing. Like Paul says, it's a clanging cymbal. It's like, I can speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but if I don't have love, And that equates to love for God and love for others. And so Paul says, yes, you've pledged this. Let's prepare for it. Let's give it out. So there's a concept in Scripture. In 1 John 3:17 and 18, it says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love one another. Let's show it in the truth by our actions. See, the church in Galatia and the church in Corinth and all these churches throughout Macedonia were putting their faith into action. They were saying, yeah, we love them. We love these people. We love everybody. But they were actually showing their love. It cost them a little something. If you're in a relationship, sometimes it costs a little. Sometimes you have to bite your upper lip. Sometimes you have to, I'm not going to respond. That's a cost. That cost us something. Yeah. It cost us our pride. Sometimes we have to vacuum the floor, do the dishes. It costs us a little bit of time out of our day. But in light of eternity, what does that cost? And even more so, that shows that we love God and love others. So, anyway, verse 5. Before we get too far off, I want to keep to time here. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Paul lived his life with the understanding, if the Lord permits, or if the Lord wills. In Proverbs 16:9, we read, we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. This is so true. I mean, how many of you planned a vacation in 2020? How many of you planned to go to school in 2020? How many of you made plans for 2020 and they fell apart? I know what it's like. I joke with some people, I'm the king of not being able to make plans. My job, I'm on call 24/7, basically. And I cannot plan anything, because I might get called out at any moment. Now, this morning's a little different. She understands I'm at church and I can't answer my phone. So I do have a few minutes here where I plan to be here. But I have to be available 24 hours. So I kind of know what this is like to, yeah, I'm going to plan my ways, but God's going to guide my steps. And this is how Paul lived his life. If the Lord permits, if the Lord allows, he plans on spending some time with them. But with that, Paul planned on staying in Ephesus a little while longer because he says a great door of opportunity opened for him, even though there was difficulties. You know, sometimes when trying to love one another, there's difficulties. Sometimes when we try to love God, there's opposition to that, spiritual attacks. And Paul was saying, doesn't matter. Even though there's attacks, I'm still going to stick to what God has called me. And he's going to encourage the church in Corinth to do this as well here in a few minutes. And in Acts 20, we end up seeing that he did stay in Corinth for about 3 months. He did make it there. He stayed there for about 3 months. He actually had to hightail it out of Ephesus because they were chasing him down. But he made it to Corinth. And he was able to stay for 3 months and minister with this church. And so he did keep his word. He was a man of his word. Verse 10. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear for while he is with you. For he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. So evidently Paul had reason to fear for the treatment of Timothy. We're not sure why. We don't really know. We know that Paul tells Timothy to be courageous, be bold, stand up. You know, you're doing God's work, so don't worry about what other people are saying and thinking. But here, he has kind of a reason to fear for the treatment of So he tells the Corinthians, be nice to him. Send him on his way when it's time to go. But could it be the same reason why in verse 12 we read that Apollos was unwilling to go? In verse 12, now about our brother Apollos. They must have asked. So he said, now about our brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. See, in the first couple chapters of this book, there was a big division. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of this guy. I'm of that guy. There was a lot of division in the church because they were playing favorites. They were showing contempt for other pastors. They were picking and choosing who they sided with. That's not right. It could be, I'm kind of reading into this a little, but it could be that the reason why Apollos didn't want to go was because he was tired of that. He was tired of the division. And maybe Timothy heard about it and was like, I don't know if I should go there, you know. But if we're loving God as we should, if we're loving others as we should, there won't be this division. There won't be all this stuff. There won't be contempt or favoritism. In chapter 13, if we would look back a few chapters, Paul says that love is patient. Love is kind, not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no records of being wronged. True love does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful, and love endures through every circumstance. So the question for us, and the question maybe for the Corinthians at this time, was, are we loving as we should? I had a conversation with a guy the other day, and he was frustrated by the seemingly lack of unity in the churches in Colorado Springs. Just a general overall lack of unity, even among groups of churches. There seems to be a little bit of lack of unity there. And so he was frustrated. And he kept expressing this to me, and we kept talking about it. And at one point, I felt like God was giving me the answer. Because he's like, what do we do? Where do we start to pray for these churches? Do we pray for the pastor? Do we pray for the congregations? What do we do? And I felt like God was just like pounding a word into my head. I bet you can guess the word. Love. Love. Are we loving God as he commands? Are we loving others as he commands? If not, why not? There would be unity. I believe there's more unity than he saw. But there would be a lot more unity in individual churches and in fellowships and across the cities and across the country if we all took this command to heart. There would be more unity. I'm sure you can think of somebody right now that you're not close to anymore, that you've separated ways maybe, that you don't want to talk to. Well, Paul says love is patient. Are you being patient with them? Love is kind. Have you been kind? Love is not jealous, not boastful, not proud or rude, and so on. So in this, there's an encouragement to love. Love one another and love God. Ultimately, again, what does it cost us? What does it cost me to pull out the vacuum and vacuum the living room for my wife? What does it cost me to come in here a few minutes early and wipe down the doorknobs? What does it cost me to be kind? In light of eternity, it doesn't cost you that much. It doesn't cost me that much. But why is it still so hard to follow this command of God, to love him and love others? Verse 13, Paul encourages them, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Paul tells these believers, basically, stay awake. Stay strong. Stand firm in what you believe. Basically, show yourselves to be the men and women of God that you say you are. Am I a man, the man of God that I say I am? I had to reflect on this week. Am I always on my guard? Do I always stand firm in the faith? Am I always courageous? Am I always strong? Do I always do everything in love? And I'll be honest with you guys here this morning. No, I don't. I fall short so many times. I have to go back and ask for forgiveness from people. I have to go back and apologize to people. I have to think, oh, I should have said that to that person while I had the chance. And God's saying to me this morning, am I the man that I've called you, that he's called me to be? Are we the people that God has called us to be? And that starts with the greatest commandment, to love God with our heart, our mind, our soul, and our body, and then to love others. And that's where it starts. We won't be firm in the faith if there's hatred towards somebody, if there's bitterness towards somebody. We won't be courageous if we're worried about what other people think. We won't be strong if we're not sure of where we stand with God. For the longest time in my life, I struggled with a lot of doubt. Okay, I messed up again. I don't know that God loves me. Maybe I've gone too far this time. And for the longest time, I was unsure of where I stood with God. I was unsure of my faith in God. I was unsure of all that. But when I started following God's command, when I started praying that way, Lord, change me. Lord, make me the man you want me to be. Lord, help me to be loving. Help me to love you, Lord. Help me to love others. When I started doing that, my doubts started fading away. And it's not that God had changed. It's that God changed my heart. God worked in me. But the greatest commandment is the hardest to follow. Love God and love others. It's because we like to be right. We like to have things our way. We like to do things our way. That's why Paul was like, if the Lord wills, I'll come to you. Paul understood this. He understood that if we are loving God, then we're letting him lead our life. If we're loving others, then it doesn't matter about the opposition that I'm facing. I'm still going to be strong, be courageous, and do what God has called me to do. Amen? So, verse 15. You know the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they had devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. This is a remarkable statement about this family, about this household. They devoted themselves to be the servants of the Lord's people. Devoted themselves to the poor and needy in the church. You know what drew me to this church? I'm going to brag on our pastors here for a few minutes. I would come by and help advise on some technical issues. I would come by and help them work through some problems they were having with the audio, the visual, and all that. I would come by and just hang out some. And you know, I would come by and Tracy would be on a ladder changing light bulbs. Pastor Jim would be out front in the parking lot pulling weeds. And it wasn't just when people were watching, because I stopped by random times. It was all the time. They were not just keeping themselves busy because they didn't have anything else to do. They were doing this because they love you guys, because they love this church. They love this body. That's what drew me to this church. That's what Paul is talking about here when he says, submit to such people. Join them in the work that God has called us to do. Pastor Jim and Pastor Tracy love this church. Love you people. And that's why, if you stop by during the week, Pastor Tracy's usually on his computer printing flyers. He's, you know, researching something for problems we're having, lights, parking lot, you know, all that stuff. So that when you come here, the building's clean, the building's refreshed. We got a couple lights out right now, but we're working on that. But things are ready so that you feel loved when you walk in these doors. You feel like we've taken time to take care of the building for you. So you got a nice, warm building to sit in. Clean parking lot. The parking lot looks great, by the way. Manny did a great job. You know, all those things happen out of love for the congregation. And that drew me to this church. That drew me to want to get to know Jim and Tracy and the guys better. Like Paul says, they refreshed my spirit. And I know they refreshed your spirit as well. It's refreshing to see a leader that's willing to roll up his sleeves and plunge a toilet. It's encouraging to see a leader that'll climb up on a ladder. His lights are like 16 feet. I am scared to death of the ladder. But to climb up on the ladder, I let Tracy do it, by the way, to climb up on the ladder and change a light bulb. It's encouraging. One of the greatest problems facing the church today, besides love, is it's hard to find great leaders. I skipped around to a lot of churches before I came here, and this church isn't perfect. None of us are perfect. But there was a lot of churches that we went and visited to where the pastor was looking to get a number of people. You know, they got this metrics where if you get so many people, that'll bring in so much income, and the pastor can be a full-time pastor and not have to do all the mundane tasks anymore and stuff like that. And these guys weren't worried about that. They both are like, if I need to go get a job to help further things here, so be it. That's what God wills. It's what God wants. And so we need leaders who lead by example. And Paul says, follow people like this. So we need followers who are willing to submit and join those leaders in the work God has for us. It can't all be done by one or two people. There's so much that goes on in this building, in churches across America. There's so much that happens, so much that takes place behind the scenes, that if one person calls out sick, it throws a wrench in everything. And so that's why Paul calls us the body of Christ. Some are the head, some are the feet, some are the arms, some are the legs. Because we all have a part to play. And so let me encourage you in this. If you believe in this church, if you see Jim and Pastor Tracy as examples, Paul says submit to such people. Join them in that work. You know, I know I'm looking around here, and I'm pretty sure almost everybody here is serving somewhere in this facility. And I don't mean to, you know, be like, hey, we need you to serve more, because that's not what's necessary. Be in prayer that God would send people to fill in the little areas. There's a lot of little things. Me and Pastor Tracy get together a lot, and we talk about, oh, you know, we'd really like to see this ministry happen. Perfect example, small groups. We'd like to see a whole bunch of small groups get started, because there's a chance that another shutdown may happen to where it's 10 or under again. And so if there's small groups, people can still meet. People can still get that fellowship, even when we can't meet as a congregation like this. So there's small groups we'd love to see happen. But it's like, okay, I know I can only do so much. Joe, he's got a small group. He can only do so much. You know, one, two nights a week, you know, you get tapped pretty quick. So pray. I know all you guys are serving. Pray for the Lord to send people that would join us in the work. And if you feel like you can do more, if you feel like God's saying it, you need to step up and lead a small group. Talk to one of us, because it's easier than it sounds. It's not as difficult as it's been made out to be anymore. Verse 19, before I get off on another tangent. The churches in the province of Asia send their greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Let's just be clear. This was cultural, not a mandate. Especially right now, we should not be greeting one another with a holy kiss. It's pretty much like a handshake today. And it was guys, you know, giving another guy a kiss on the cheek type of thing. It's cultural. I don't understand it. I had a grandma that always was like trying to give me a kiss on the lips, and that weirded me out. I don't know why. But it was weird. But no, this is not a mandate. Basically, greet each other with a warm greeting. You know, hey, how you doing? God bless you. You know, right now we got to do high fives, fist bumps a little, elbow bumps, stuff like that. So, but he says the churches in Asia send you greetings. The church, the Aquila and Priscilla meet in their house. That church sends you greetings. It may come back down to this one of these days. I know you guys are all smart people, and we see the times are changing. And there may come a time where, as a church, we may have to meet in houses. Nothing wrong with that. They did this. They did that then. You know, yeah, it's nice to come and meet in a nice, warm building and everything. But, you know, sometimes I like having people over at the house, too. So but Aquila and Priscilla had a church that met in their house. And all the brothers and sisters who were there with Paul send their greetings. Pastor Tracy told me the other day that a while back, another church in town called up and said, this is Pastor so-and-so, and hey, we just wanted to let you know and ask, is there anything we can pray for your church this month? And that's kind of nice to know that another church would think about us. And I know we do that from time to time. We'll call up, you know, hey, Pastor Eric, just want to let you know, we're praying for you guys. Is there anything we can pray for you? Is there anything God's doing in your church that we can pray for, that you want prayer for? You know, stuff like that. That's basically what's going on here. The churches are gathering together, sending their prayers, sending their greetings to one another. Verse 21. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. So Paul dictated this entire letter to somebody to write down. Here at the end, he says, I am sending you my greeting in my own hand. So now this is Paul penning this, or it's his signature at the end of the letter. Verse 22, if anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Again, it all comes back down to love. Our first priority is to love God. That's what Paul says here. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we don't get this, we will miss out on all the rest. Like Paul said, if I don't have love, I'm like a noisy cymbal. I was going to walk over there, but then I remembered there's a shield up. I was going to walk over there and just start banging on a cymbal, but it's loud. You hit it just right and it hurts. But that's what Paul says you're like if you don't have love. Every time you open your mouth, you know. So, but if we don't get this, we're going to miss out on the rest of what God has for us. It all comes down to love. Now, in our society where there are no losers, where participation prizes reign supreme, it seems harsh to say that if you don't love God, you're cursed. But that is exactly what Paul says here. That's what it says in the original language. That's what Paul meant. If you don't love God, you're cursed. It's not unfair. It's what we deserve. For the wages of sin is death. Death is defined as eternal separation from God, eternal punishment. It is the choice that we each make. We can choose to love God, or we can choose to love this world. God commands us to love him. It is the first great commandment, as Jesus said. So when we don't obey, what do we expect? Do we expect a loving God to just overlook our disobedience? That would make him unloving. No, Paul says right here that the person who does not love God is cursed. How sad to think about that. That a person would be so focused on the here and now that they would give up on eternal blessings that await those of us who love him. But yet we all do this, don't we? I can think of right now times in even my day this morning where I wasn't loving God as I should. Why would I give up on eternal blessings for a momentary pleasure, for a moment of selfishness? It's heartbreaking to think that of anybody. I know some people that profess to be Christians and have totally said, I don't want anything to do with God. Circumstances came, something happened. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't know that I myself could get to that place. I pray that God would never let me get to that place. My prayer for you guys is that God would never let you get to that place. The Bible says that he holds us in his hand. He protects us. But it is a choice. And Paul says that the person who doesn't love God is cursed. In John 3:17-18, Jesus says, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but those who did not believe are condemned already. We are born sinful people. We will die sinful people and face God's punishment and wrath on our sins if there's no love. Paul says, after he says, let that person be accursed, he says, come, Lord. And for those of us who love God, I know this week has been a little stressful, and I'm like, come, Lord Jesus, come now. As the COVID numbers rise, as states are locking down more and more, I'm like, come, Lord Jesus, come. And I know that's our prayer. The closer I get to God, the closer I dig into my relationship with God, the more I love God and love others, the more I say, come, Lord. But if it's his will, he will wait, because Bible says that God is patient in bringing wrath and judgment because his desire is that all would be saved. So if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure, there's doubts in your mind, you need to know for sure. Because I was miserable going through life unsure of my faith. I was miserable going through life thinking, okay, did I go too far? Did I do too much? Did I mess up? Have I not done enough? Have I not given enough? And God reminded me, I sent my son to die for you. That's how much I love you. That's how much God loves each and every one of us in this place this morning. That he would send his one and only son to die for us. To take that punishment that we deserved, to endure that separation from God that we were destined for. And he says, I love you so much that I'm willing to endure that so that you can love me, so that you can come to know me. What it means to be saved is the greatest commandment, love God. That's what it means to be saved, that we love God. Now, of course, don't walk out of here feeling condemned because you don't love God enough. I don't think Billy Graham loved God enough, if he'd be honest. I'm sure there was stuff in his life where he's like, yeah, I wasn't loving God as much there. You know, we all struggle. But the Bible is very clear. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. It's not, If you seek me, you know, I might be over here or might be over there. No, if you seek me, you will find me. This is something I tell the teens all the time. When they struggle with doubts, when they struggle with, does God really exist? Do I know? How can I know? I'm like, grab this book and seek God. If you grab this book and you start seeking God, he will show himself to you. He will reveal his will to you. You will be in a relationship like no other. It's amazing. I'm amazed when I read a passage in my morning study or something, and almost always it's applicable to what I'm going through. Almost always. And it's like, there's no way I could have planned this. I saw a graphic. I was going to bring it, but I didn't know how it would show up on the screen. So I saw this graphic the other day, and it looked like this big rainbow over this little line. And I know some of you saw it because some of you shared it on Facebook. There's this little line, and it's Genesis to Revelation. And then there's all these little tiny lines. All these little tiny lines. And it makes a rainbow. It's kind of cool looking. And what it is it's every verse that corresponds with another verse in the Bible. And there's so many that there is no way over 1,500 years, 40 authors could have planned that. And that's what we hold in our hands. And that's how God says, if you seek me, you will find me. This is his word. It's not some old ancient book. It's alive. And if you're struggling with loving God and loving others, pour into God's word. He'll help you. If you're struggling with doubt and fear and anxiety, pour into God's word. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. And we can then say with Paul, come, Lord, I'm ready. I'm not worried about having done enough or anything. Jesus is enough. I'm not worried about those things. If Paul were standing here this morning, what do you think he'd tell us? I think he'd tell us what he told the Corinthians in 13 and 14. Stay awake. Stay strong. Stand firm in what you believe. Show yourselves to be men and women of God. And above all, in everything that you do, love. Because ultimately, in the end, for those who love God, love wins. God's love through us, God's love in us, and our love towards God and towards others. That's what the whole Bible is about. A loving God who pursues a relationship with us. And desires a loving relationship with us. Desires for us to love him back. But he doesn't force it on us. That's why we still wander. That's why we still have days where we don't love God as we should. Because God's not forcing that on us. You know, what would it be like if you got a significant other and you had to force them to love you? What kind of relationship would that be? We don't want that. God doesn't want that. So he gives us the opportunity. He gives us everything we need to do so. He gives us his word, speaking to us every day if we allow him. Every moment that we were in his word, God can speak to us. Amen? Paul would say love. Above all else, love. Let me pray as the worship team comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so in awe of you, that you would love little old me, that you would love each and every one of us so much that you're willing to take a penalty that we should have had, that we deserved to take.